truth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The figure at the center of a new debate between the U.S. and China over trade is in court today. The chief financial officer of the Chinese telecom, Wahe, is appearing in a Canadian courtroom as she seeks bail while awaiting possible extradition to the United States. Meng Wanzhou smiled and spoke to her attorney as she waited for the judge to arrive. Her arrest came as a jarring surprise after the president came to terms with China over the weekend to something of a trade truce. It roiled the markets yesterday when she was arrested. House Republicans interviewing James Comey behind closed doors today. The former FBI director appearing for the interview after unsuccessfully fighting a subpoena in court. It's the first time he's answered lawmakers' questions since an explosive June 2016 hearing in which he asserted that President Trump fired him to interfere with his investigation of alleged ties to Russia during his campaign. More details at SRNnews.com.
Today will be partly cloudy with no chance of rain. Our high temperature expected to be in the mid-60s. Tonight we'll see a few clouds, overnight the low 47, and for tomorrow we're expecting around a 1 in 5 chance of rain, cloudy conditions, and the high tomorrow 68 degrees.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to SWAT Radio. It's Doug McCary of His Light Ministries, again with my friend Jim Boone and brother in Christ. Jim, welcome back.
Oh, man.
3 days in a week. Man, that's good.
This is like a world record or something. Hey, we were running kind of late getting here today. That was...
Yeah.
You know, is that what all the highway patrolmen on Butler Boulevard are doing? Did they saw these two Toyota pickup trucks running down the highway?
Like they thought we were racing or something.
Well, I tell you what, that Toyota Tundra's an impressive machine.
That thing can move, can it?
Yeah, I think mine
a good
was
old
designed
engine.
In a wind tunnel. It seems like the faster I go, the smoother it gets. It just hugs the road, and I didn't know that thing would go that fast.
Well, you missed a good interview yesterday with Tunch Ilk, and Tunch was a former Pittsburgh Steeler and got a lot of good feedback about that interview. Jim, his wife passed away about 7 years ago, his wife of 30 years from cancer after a five-year battle with cancer, and he just shared a little bit about that, shared about men's ministry. He's got he's the men's minister up at a place called the Bible Chapel in Pennsylvania, where I went and spoke a couple of weeks ago, and just really did a great job of sharing. And by the way, I want to say a shout out to James Grimm. James is out in the Northwest, and he helps us with our social media and all that stuff, and he has done such a great job of coming in and taking over, because our social media and internet person kind of went away, and so we had to get somebody to help, and he helped us, and he's out there. He takes, even though he's not in Jacksonville, he does it remotely, but he does a great job for us. And the app and the website now should be up to date, and he gets those episodes up quick. So shout out to you, James. Thanks for all the work you do. And Steve, thank you also for doing a good job in here producing, and just glad to have you guys on board with us, because Jim and I would be in big trouble, and Brad and I would be in big trouble if we did not have you to do that. So, hey, Jim, did you get a chance to see Bush's the last part of his funeral? He was laid to rest yesterday at College Station, A&M. Whoop! For all the Aggie people out there.
There you go.
Where the Bush Library is. It was just unbelievable to watch the I don't know, it carried so much weight the way they did it. It was done well to honor a hero.
Just watching that train carrying the casket and the hundreds and thousands of Americans standing alongside the railroad track just to watch, you know, Bush going home.
Well, you know, Jim Dennison puts out an article every day, and he made a comment. You know, today we remember Pearl Harbor. You remember a long time ago, it seems like. I mean, for us, we tend to go back to 9/11, but Pearl Harbor was a day that nobody, probably over 40, can forget.
Right.
You know, I mean, just from the parents talking about it and stuff. And he said in his article today, he said, here's the problem. It's hard for us to understand the eternality of eternity. And because everything that we do on a day-to-day basis is time conditioned. We tend to experience the universe as past, present, and future. And no moment is really permanent. There's always something next that we're going to do. We go from one project to another. And he says we're like an unborn baby that's safe and secure in the mother's womb. And we can't possibly imagine life outside that. And if we were twins and could speak to each other, we would believe one another to be the only people that exist except for our mother, right? Because that's kind of how we live our life a lot. Especially here in America, we tend to be very individualized. But if somebody could explain the birth process to us, we would refuse it if we could. Nobody would want to go through that, right?
That's right.
Nobody, think about that. To be taken from the only world we know into this unknown world, this realm that has realities that we can't even begin to imagine, it's hard for us to get our heads around that. Well, it's the same thing moving from life here on earth to the other side. But, you know, the fact that there is an eternity means that we always have to be ready for death. We always have to be ready to face that final curtain.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing these funerals really do for me, Doug, is it helps us come to grips with just the finality of life and that we are going to have that death experience. And, you know, it's coming sooner than later. And, you know, for some people, you can see it coming. You may have a tragic disease, cancer or something, and you know you've only got, you know, so much time to live. But most people don't have that. Mm-hmm. And it might be an accident or maybe a heart attack or whatever. And boom, it's done.
Well, we only have now to prepare for eternity, right? Once you leave this place, you're there. There is no future preparation. It's here while you walk on earth. And, you know, when something like 79 years ago, Pearl Harbor, all those sailors got up in the morning, got on their boats. You know, they were in their boats. They were stationed in the harbor there. So they went out. They were doing what they do. They had no idea what
Sunday
was coming.
Sunday morning, many of them getting up looking for a day of rest. Some of them going to worship the Lord, mm-hmm. but others playing, you know, baseball games, just going to the beach, they thought, and they had their whole life ahead of them. You know, duty station on Hawaii at that time was kind of a sweet duty.
Mm. Well, if you're listening today and you're not sure that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, if you're not sure you're ready to meet God, can I just encourage you to take a moment today, right now, and call out to him. And say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know the security of being with you for eternity and not in your judgment and in your wrath. Because the Bible is pretty clear. If you don't know him, that's where you will spend eternity. And once you pass from this life to the next, there's no second chances there.
There's no reset.
No.
And there's none of this, you know, cycle of being, you know, born a second time physically and reincarnation. Scriptures don't support that at all. It says once to die and then comes judgment.
Mm.
So we need to prepare for that.
Well, one of the things we learned when Rachel was going through her ordeal with her heart was live every day as if it were your last. And then one of those days, you're going to be right. It will be your last. And you don't know. But if you live every day like that, you'll probably make better choices in your life than if you don't.
That's right.
Because we get lulled into this complacency. And, you know, I just want to take a minute at the first part of this program today to explain that God created you and me for a relationship where we're dependent on him. I mean, we were created to depend on him every day, not just for a one and done, okay, moment of salvation, but he created us for relationship. And the problem along the way is we rebelled against that. We didn't want a relationship. We didn't want somebody to be accountable to. Even though they created the whole universe, we did not want to be accountable. And because of that, we go against God's word. We go against his will. We do things that offend him, and things that he tells us to do, we don't do. And the Bible calls that sin. And all that word sin means is to simply miss the mark. And we do miss the mark because we're human, we're flawed, and we rebel against his leadership. And the Bible says because of that, we earn eternal death. But because of his mercy and because of his grace, 2,000 years ago, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, born to a virgin, walked the earth, healed the sick, raised the dead. And he said, I'm going to die on a cross to pay the penalty for your sins and be resurrected 3 days later to prove that that death was a final payment. And 3 days later, he was resurrected. And he said, anyone that wants to follow me, that wants to come to me, anyone that wants a drink of the water that will satisfy you for life, anyone that wants to come to the light out of the darkness, come to me. And then you will be in my family. There were no fancy prayers, no written out prayers for everybody to pray back then. They didn't mass produce it. It was as simple as a thief on a cross saying, hey, will you remember me today? And Jesus said, today you'll be with me. Because it was a heart condition, not just confessing it. And so if you're listening out there today, maybe you've gone to church your whole life. You've heard that message 100 times, but you've never really embraced him as your Lord and your Savior. And you don't really know what it means to have a relationship with him. Well, it means that you spend time with him, that you trust him, even though you can't see him. That's where the faith comes in. And it's not just a trusting for salvation. You trust him for everything. Life, you trust him for your needs, you trust him for everything. And you say, I'm yours. I'm in your family. The Bible uses the word adoption. And the Bible says he will adopt you, put his spirit in you, begin to grow that spirit just like a newborn baby grows, and he will never let you go. And Jim, that is one of the best promises in the whole Bible, is that once you're his, he will never lose you.
And you're his forever. And Doug, I think this issue right here of where are we spiritually today is the most pressing issue of our time. You know, the disciples approached Jesus one day and they wanted to know about the end of the world. When is it going to happen? And like Jesus does, he responded differently. He said, I'm going to tell you what the judgment's going to be like. He said, there's going to be a lot of people, a lot of religious people come running up to me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all of these wonderful things we did for you. And Jesus is going to say, away with you. I never knew you. And that's the issue. Jesus isn't asking us to do things for him. We may do that out of love for him, but we don't do that to earn our way to heaven. That is a free gift, mm-hmm. just like receiving, you know, the best Christmas gift of God, that taste of eternal life. And Jesus, more than anything, wants to know us personally. And Doug, you know, that's exactly what God meant in the first chapter of Genesis when he said, let us make God in our image. We were made in that image of God, made so we could commune with him mm-hmm. daily, not just once a week going to church, but every day we could just live in a relationship of harmony and community and communion with the living God of the universe. That blows me away.
Well, it's really an amazing gift. And I hope that if you're out there and you have not receive that gift, that you will. This would be a great time of year to do that. Well, hey, Jim, thanks for joining us again today. And if you're listening and you want to call in today, we're going to be talking about marriage, God's view of marriage from Matthew 19, permanent and sacred. But if you want to call in, you can call 904-401-1413 outside of Jacksonville, 1-844-777-7928. On the website, www.swatradio.com, you can send questions to ask@swatradio.com. We'll be right back.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
SWAT Radio is brought to you on the truth by Evolve Bank and Trust. Evolve offers investment services, trust and mortgage services, physician lending, and equipment finance. Through its affiliates, a network of bankers, trust officers, and mortgage advisors, they offer a wide array of loan products and services and are actively involved in the growth of the communities they serve. Evolve is a nationwide lender providing residential mortgage loans, including conventional, FHA, VA, home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, and USDA loans. More information is available by calling Michael Koopman with Evolve Bank and Trust at 727-415-2214. Their web address is www.clearwater.evolve.mortgage. Equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hark, the herald angels sing,
sing.
Hark, the herald.
Hey, it's Doug McCary. Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That was Pentatonix with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Got a lot of good feedback from that the other day. A little kind of a jazzed up version of that.
Isn't
that
great? I love Christmas music, and I know we've talked about that earlier in the week, but, you know, I was just talking with another elder from Eastside at lunch, and we love, you know, personally, a blend of some of the old hymns mm-hmm. and some of this modern contemporary music. And I particularly love some of the contemporary praise music. There's nothing that just mm-hmm. takes me, you know, right to heaven quicker. And that reminds me, one of my favorite verses is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. You know, Christ, we are raised up with mm-hmm. Christ and seated with him mm-hmm. in heavenly places. So it's not just a place that we're going to. We positionally can be right there with Christ today when we know him.
Well, I think it's a great time of year, and I think you brought this out Monday, for us to share that with other people.
Right.
You know, one statistic that we hear a lot is about 90 to 95% of the people that sit in church every Sunday have never shared the gospel with anybody.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
You know, that's that gift that we have. You know, we like to say at our church, you know, that is your story. That mm-hmm. is something so intimate between, you know, the Lord Jesus and you personally. And when you share that hope that is within your heart, you know, people may want to argue some theological things, but they cannot argue with you sharing what has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a precious thing. And we need to be willing to do it, because like we talked about earlier in the week, you know, statistically, people seem to be more open to the gospel at this time of the year. We know We know traditionally there's just a lot of people that come, you know, to our churches on Christmas Day that may not come any other day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we want to make sure they hear the gospel message that day. But every day leading up to it, when we're in this frame of mind, the Holy Spirit is working to prepare. He's plowing soil right now. And when you sense that opportunity, be bold, be courageous. And you don't have to be real preachy. Just share that hope of what God has done to you.
Well, you know, and I think we should have the attitude. You know, when I take people over to Israel, one of the questions people ask, well, is this the exact, is this the exact spot where this happened? And I said, well, nobody knows because we don't have a living witness that saw exactly where it happened. We know it was a general area, but the biggest thing is it happened here somewhere in this area. And, you know, people go, well, we don't even know for sure if Jesus was born in December. We take a day to celebrate. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus was born. Right. He came to earth. God came to earth in the form of a man, and he called us to himself, and he gives us eternal life. I mean, there's not a greater thing in the whole world than to have a relationship with the God who created the whole universe. Jim, have you ever looked at the vastness of our universe? Just, I mean, you talk about wanting to feel small. You look at how massive the stars are that are out there, the Milky Way, the you know, all the different black holes, all the things that are out there. When you start looking at that stuff and you realize that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob made the universe and called us to himself and says, you can be in my family.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. You know, when you were saying that, I was just thinking, my wife and I went, we traveled out to the Dakotas. We went to Badlands National Park last year, and we went out one night for stargazing session they had. And that was the first time I've ever really seen the edge of the Milky Way. It was so crystal clear, Doug. Colors, everything, amazing.
You see a lot out west, don't you?
Oh, and those clear skies. But I'm telling you, felt the presence of God, knowing, you know, it was his handiwork. And scriptures are very clear that this Christ, you know, that we celebrate coming as a baby in the manger, that, you know, we a lot of times see this cuddly, cute little baby Jesus, and that's what the world a lot of times, that's all they see. But they miss the story that he was the creator of the universe, come to offer himself as a payment for all of those things that I've done wrong that separate me from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to put that right by dying on the cross for me. That's who this Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same one that went to the cross at Easter, you know, so that I might know eternal life. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, every time I think back over the story, I just never get over it.
Well, he's the bridegroom and we are the bride. And he uses that terminology. Paul uses that terminology. And it's just very, very encouraging and affirming to know that he would love us when we're so unlovely sometimes.
Amen. You know? And again, you brought up that this is the creator of the universe. You know, one of my favorite verses on that is Colossians, you know, 1:15 through 16:17. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, everything. That's who this Jesus is that we celebrate.
Well, the Pharisees did not like him. The religious leaders did not like him because he challenged their authority. He challenged their power structure. And Jesus was leaving Galilee in Matthew, the end of 18, beginning of 19. And when he left, the Pharisees came up to him and they approached him with this question about divorce to actually trick him, to try to get him to be unpopular with the crowd. And this week, we've kind of looked at Matthew 19, 1 through 6, and this idea that marriage is permanent and sacred. And we've talked about how in our culture, it has not been, it's been more of a social contract. And I just want to say, if you're listening out there, and maybe you're coming from a background where you have gone through a divorce, or you know somebody that's gone through a divorce, we seem to have two views in the church. One view is we treat people like an outcast when they're divorced. And then the other view is we don't honor marriage as sacred and permanent because of the divorce. We kind of just say, well, it doesn't really matter. And neither one of those really are acceptable. Divorce is not the unpardonable sin, yet because people are divorced doesn't mean we should not teach this sacred, permanent view of marriage that Christ held up. And, you know, if you're listening today and maybe you got a question about it, I'd love for you to call in 904-401-1413 or 844-777-7928, or you can send it in to ask@swatradio.com. But this whole issue is, I think, Jim, as Jesus is dealing with this, what's really going on is you've got tradition and culture, the Pharisees that followed Hillel that said you could divorce for any reason. You've got the Pharisees and people that followed Shammai who said you could only divorce for adultery. They're competing factions, but they're really not talking about Scripture as much as they're talking about man's view of Scripture.
And what did Jesus do? Remember, Jesus is the Word. You know, in John we say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the living Word of God. So they wanted him to address that cultural issue. What did he do? He took them back to the Word of God, and he said, do you not understand, or have you not read? And then he took them right back and read the verse to them.
Yeah, because if they get mad, they can only get mad with God, because that was God's word to them.
That's exactly right.
And they had twisted it the way they said. You know, he addressed the twisting back in Matthew 5 when he was talking to them on the Mount of Beatitudes about how they twisted the word. But this idea of, we talked about the permanence and sacredness of marriage, has really, I think, been diluted with a lot of things. It's been diluted because of the lax view of divorce that we've had in the church. It's been diluted because of the homosexual and lesbian marriage issue outside of the church, and now even inside of the church in very liberal-minded churches. And so what's going on is we've forgotten God's original design for marriage was one man and one woman in a covenant relationship, a lifelong covenant relationship, for the purpose of reproducing the faith community that would carry the message for future generations, and also for them to rule over together their area of influence in their world to be a light for Christ. That was the purpose. It wasn't just because you see cute Susie down there and you go, wow, I want to marry her, which is the way we've kind of made it. It was his original design was a covenant relationship between one man and one woman, where that man left his family's loyalty. And keep in mind, geographically, the men didn't leave. They stayed in their father's house. They built a room on their father's house in the community. But what he's talking about is they leave in a socially prioritizing way. The parent relationship becomes secondary to the marriage relationship. And boy, we struggle a little bit with that one in this country.
Oh, we really do. And, you know, Doug, as you were just sharing about the purpose of marriage, you know, in the Jewish culture in that day, was to perpetuate that whole faith community. And I'm thinking today, what's happening in America? They say, many people are saying, this is the post-Christian era in America. And we look, a lot of our children are not following us in faith. And how well have we perpetuated the faith community?
Because we've not communicated to them that one of the basic tenets is marriage is to the base cell of the faith community, a husband and wife who love each other, covenant relationship for life, to reproduce the faith community for future generations. And yeah, Boy, we see the result of not honoring that. Well, listen, hey, we got to go to our half hour break. You're listening to Doug McCary of His Light Ministries and his good friend Jim Boone. And Jim's in here, Shark Boy, some of you guys know him as. And hey, we'd love for you to join us with questions or comments about the whole marriage issue that we've been dealing with. You can call in at 904-401-1413 or send your questions to ask@swatradio.com. And if you want to go to the website at swatradio.com, you can listen to past programs. We'll be right back after the news.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. U.S. employers pulled back on hiring in November, adding just 155,000 jobs. But Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick says overall hiring remains robust.
This report might be viewed as slightly disappointing, but this is not the Grinch who stole Christmas. The outlook for next year is for slower hiring, but not a halt in jobs creation. So between tightness in the job market, some employers struggling to find well-qualified workers, we should not expect hiring to be blazing at this moment.
The Labor Department says the unemployment rate held steady at 3.7%. After dumping a record 1.91 inches of rain in Los Angeles, storm continues to move east today with 15 states from Nevada to Virginia under snow, ice, and flood alerts. National Weather Service forecaster Patrick Burke says heavy rains came down in L.A.
It just really came into phase with a good slug of moisture that was directed right into the Los Angeles area, and you saw a rainfall of anywhere from about 1 to 3 inches.
Ron Tarter told WTVD-TV he's not worried that some of that storm will turn to snow by the time it reaches his home in Cary, North Carolina.
Snow's fun. It's pretty. I got a nice 4x4. It's kind of fun to drive in it, so kind of look forward to it.
Ice and snow is forecast from Arkansas to Tennessee and into the western Carolinas and northern Georgia. In Pearl Harbor, Hawaii today, the ceremony to mark the 77th anniversary of what President Franklin Delano Roosevelt called the Day of Infamy, Japan's surprise attack that crippled the U.S. fleet. Jay Blunt is a public information officer at the Pacific National Monument in Pearl Harbor.
Today we pay tribute to those members of the greatest generation who rose to the challenge.
This year, for the first time, no survivor from the USS Arizona will be attending the ceremony, as none of the men were able to make the trip to Hawaii. On Wall Street, the Dow's down 613 points. More from townhall.com.
Downtown, still major delays because of a crash on I-95 northbound beyond I-10 blocking the right lane. Also, look out for an accident on I-95 northbound at the exit at Gulf Air, a little north of downtown. And some delays in St. Johns County because of a crash on I-95 northbound a couple miles before State Road 9B. Lots of sun this afternoon, tonight mostly cloudy, low 47, and more clouds Saturday, high 68.
Jesus was born today. Born in a manger. Though he was young, they say, he was no stranger. He has set me free. If I will believe, I'm so glad to see it is his birthday.
Hey, it's Doug McCary. That was the Oak Ridge Boys with Jesus is Born Today. You know, Jim, we play that every Christmas for my kids. We've been doing that since my older kids were babies. We just, Lori grew up hearing that song with the Oak Ridge Boys. By the way, they sang it at Bush's memorial service.
I saw that. That was impressive. You know, a lot of times we can tell about people what they really value by the music they listen to. Can't
yeah,
they?
Well,
they read.
Well, the Oak Ridge Boys, they sang a lot of hymns, and they even made a joke that President Bush liked to try to sing bass with them. Sometimes said he was a pretty good bass, and they said no, he really wasn't a good bass. And W laughed at that, but you know. The Oak Ridge Boys, they have a Christmas album I like listening to. I like that song, especially about celebrating what he's done. It's a celebration You know, it's not about the gifts. It's not about the shopping. It's about Jesus was born and he became a man. And, you know, I love that. And I love this time of year. And so it's just fun to be able to share that. Well, you know, Jesus is also the glue, I think, that holds every marriage together. Because without him, I don't know how you have, you can stay together, but how you can really have a viable relationship, one that's mutually beneficial, where you're loving one another and you're glorifying God without him being a part of that.
That's right. And Jesus will definitely pull you together. Doug, somebody, you know, when we were getting married, we had some Christian friends that were counseling us, and they said, imagine a triangle, you know, 3 points of a triangle with you at one corner, your fiance in the other corner, and Jesus in the third corner. Think about this. As you both strive to learn more about Jesus and get closer to him, as you do that, you automatically get closer to one another as you move up the sides of that triangle.
You know.
So there have been times, I think, in every marriage, you know, when it is that focus on Christ, that focus on God, that is that glue that you talk about.
Well, you, in the break, you were asking me something, and we didn't get a chance to fully go into it, but the Berkeley principle, what were you talking about
Well, the Berkeley principle is something that I'm an engineer, and in the Army Corps of Engineers, where I'm retired from, we had a lot of scientists, and the scientists particularly use this thing called Berkeley principle, and it states that for every complex problem, there is a simple answer that is always wrong. And I think sometimes when we're dealing with this issue of divorce, you know, we're dealing with nasty, complex issues. And I think sometimes we give simple pat answers to those that have been wounded in divorce and say, well, just do this and it'll be all right. And it's a little more complex than that. It is way more complex than that. And those that are dealing with, you know, counseling in the divorce issue, remember, we're trying to restore the marriage, but we're also trying to restore those that have been deeply wounded in that and help them understand that there is a future, that God still has a plan for their life, and he still loves them intimately and deeply and wants to use them in life and ministry.
Well, I think of Jesus at, you know, the tomb of Lazarus when he wept. You know, he wept twice, and both times that he wept, it was inside of a week. Both in about the same geographical location. Once was at the tomb, I mean, that we know of. He may have wept more than that, but these were the ones delineated in Scripture where he wept when he looked and saw the sorrow over the passing of his friend Lazarus. And I think, you know, nobody knows exactly why he wept. It doesn't say in Scripture. It just says he wept. But you can imagine looking and seeing the pain of death, the pain that how it affects people, and even maybe him, because he was present when Adam and Eve bit the fruit. And thinking of how much death had elapsed, how much, seeing it in a personal way, seeing people grieving over losing someone because of sin. Because sin is the reason for all death. If Adam and Eve had not done that, and if lest we think we're too proud that we would have, if it wouldn't have been them, it would have been us. So, but the consequences of sin affect us in such a profound way. And I think a lot of times, you know, people want to blame God for pain and suffering, whether it's in a marriage or whether it's a death. And you know, God does not choose to be selfish to people. It's the selfishness that we have against our spouses or, you know, from our spouses.
Right. And I appreciate you bringing up that fact that, you know, it is the sin, the root cause of the death experience, you know, whether it be, you know, physical death for us, you know, the sickness we experience, the death that follows that often, or the death of a marriage or any other relationship. I know within the sound of this radio that there's people that have been deeply wounded in many areas of life. It might be a child, a prodigal child that's left home. It might be, you know, a death, and the unexpected death in the family. We know that in Christmas season, when we love to celebrate, you know, the birth of Jesus, we know there's walking wounded, you know, all around us. And frankly, we've all been hurt. But, you know, in the midst of that, mm-hmm. you know, God is so present, and he wants to come alongside of us and restore our joy, that, you know, we can focus back on him and understand what he has in store for us. You know, many of these painful experiences in my life have been great growth opportunities that were cleverly disguised, and all of the pain that I couldn't see through sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when I tried to get my eyes back on Jesus, I turned back to God's word, you know, I found that he never left. He was living. He was teaching me something through all of these things. And to the extent I could refocus on him, he accomplished that.
Yeah, he did accomplish that. And right. And thank God that he accomplished that, right?
Right, absolutely. And there are many, many of these painful experiences in our life that, you know, we would never want to go through again. But having been through them, we wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. Because in the midst of that, when God shows himself in such supernatural, phenomenal ways, you know, the intimacy which he comes through the dark is so precious.
Yeah, I just think about the people. You know, one of the comments you made earlier about this time of year, how it brings out pain, because you people get invited to Christmas parties, they get invited to different things, and it's not all cheery for them because they're going through a difficult time, right. And we need to be sensitive to that. I mean, we can celebrate the birth of Christ, but we also need to be aware that there's hurting people around us and not be afraid to right. comfort them, to be a healing balm, and let God use us to just say, I care. I care that you're hurting, you know. Sometimes we're not very good at that, I think.
You know, and along with that, Doug, you know, sometimes people are telling us mm-hmm. about some of their pain and we don't hear. You know, sometimes we may go to an office Christmas party, or maybe you have the neighbors over and you can see something's wrong with them. Their countenance is down. And there's an opportunity there to gently speak into that when the right opportunity is there. You don't want to call them out publicly, do you? Yeah. But you know, as the Holy Spirit gives you an opportunity, step into that in faith that God will use you. If he has opened your eyes or ears and given you an awareness that there's a problem, trust him to use you in that situation. You know, we are his ambassadors, and especially this time of the year, you know, like you said, just speaking a word of peace and love, you know, and you know, just being present, you know, for somebody to hear and listen to them. That may be the greatest gift for them this Christmas.
Well, it could be. And like I said, not to mention those that have lost someone who are struggling even with their loneliness. You know, just remember to pray for people. You might even want to invite somebody over, you know, to share a Christmas meal with you or to do something. You know, getting back to the marriage, Jim, this idea of permanence, the idea of a sacredness, how do we restore that? How do we begin to restore that? Because I really believe that the majority of Americans, when they think of marriage, they don't think of it as a sacred, covenantal, lifelong relational commitment. They, even though we say the vows, even though we have these vows, it's almost like the Pharisees were always looking for the loophole, right?
Right.
And even in their question, they asked Jesus, is it okay to divorce for any reason? They didn't say, is it okay to divorce? They had already conceded the fact that, you know, that they could divorce. And I think that you have to go into marriage with the idea that, you know what, this is a permanent, lifelong thing.
It is indeed. And you said, what can we do about it? Maybe after the break, we'll come back and discuss that. But I think understanding it's a problem, Doug, is the beginning. Somebody once said, a problem well-defined is a problem half-solved. Mm-hmm. So if we, number one, realize that in the church in America, we have a problem, and we've got to do something about it. So after the break.
We do. Well, hey, we're going to be coming back right after this last break. If you want to weigh in on this, 904-401-1413, outside of Jacksonville, 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. Or you can send a question to askatswatradio.com. We'll be right back for our last segment.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomneal.com. That's www.tomneal.com.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio. That was Carrie Underwood with "Oh Holy Night." Wow, oh, I just love those words, man.
What
just,
a holy night! What a divine night! You know, divine. I love some of these old Christmas hymns and the truth that is in them. Oh, what insight these hymn writers had!
Well, they did. Well, you know, Jim, before we went to break, we were just talking about how do we restore this? I guess, you know, one thing we can do is the people within our sphere of influence, we can start being people of conviction about this.
And I think along with that, it starts with us individually. You know, we have to, as believer warriors, you know, we have to understand, I'm going to stand with this fight. And I never will. My dad has gone to be with the Lord, but he was part of that greatest generation. And one of the sayings he had growing up, and I heard this from a lot of that generation, they said, if it is to be, it's up to me. And I think a lot of times we expect the other believers to help take this fight. Yeah. And we've got to own up to it, that it's my responsibility, along with, you know, the other brothers in SWAT, in the SWAT meetings, or, you know, the others in the church. We're going to covenant together that we're going to stand for the sanctity of marriage. And then, you know, whatever we do beyond that, the Holy Spirit has said he will bring us into all knowledge of this type truth. And, you know, we, as we pray about it, he'll do it. And it may be, you'll host a marriage conference in your church to address it first within the family of God, that we're becoming just like our culture. You know, the statistics on divorce in the church are pretty much like
outside the church.
That's right. And I remember, you know, years ago, and it's not that long ago, Doug, that, you know, the divorce statistics in the church was only like 10%, and it was, you know, 30, 40, 50% in the culture. There was a vast difference, and yeah, we're just like our culture anymore.
Well, and I think, too, Jim, that we really need to take serious what God says in His Word in Matthew 19:6, that they're no longer two, one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate. We need to get over this idea that, that we can choose who we're with and we choose who we're not with. Once God brings you together, once you covenant before God that you're this person's husband or this person's wife, that person is yours.
That's right.
And you're theirs. And God joins you together, and it says, let not man separate. And I think that's important that He puts that in the text. He puts it in the Word for us to read, saying, just because man may say it's okay doesn't mean that's what I desire.
That's right. And a lot of times we're, and you've said this all week, that a lot of times our focus is what am I getting out of this relationship? And I'm not enjoying this anymore.
And God doesn't want me to be unhappy the rest of my life. That's the argument you hear most from people, is that God does not want me to be unhappy the rest of my life.
Well, I tell you what, you know, on replying to that, Doug, if you go back into the scriptures, you can see there were many examples, you know, where some of the Old Testament prophets, some of the apostles, you know, the believers, where they suffered great pain in their lives. And some of it was for a long time. And God is in this business of making disciples. You know, remember the things that He brings into our life, He has eternity in mind. Mm-hmm. And we have today or tomorrow in mind, but God is making a disciple out of us. And you know, what does He say? You know, how do you refine gold? It is through fire. Mm-hmm. And we may not want to hear this. It may be unpopular today, but a lot of the pain in our lives is our own doing, isn't it?
Yes.
But God allows it sometimes because He is trying to purify our lives and to help us understand and think like Him for eternity.
Well, He wants us to. I mean, He wants us to be able to have what I call an eternal perspective about things. And if you look at your marriage through an eternal perspective instead of just the here and now, and realize that when it says love your wives as Christ loved the church, then you know, the idea that, well, God doesn't want me to be unhappy, you start to think, well, what about the missionaries who were tortured over in another country?
That's exactly right.
What do you think? And I'm not equating a bad marriage or situation to that, but what I'm saying is that mindset is false. It's a false narrative that you're buying into. And I really encourage you, you know, one thing that you could do is, we've been talking about this all week, you can, you know, SWATradio.com. You can download the app, SWAT Radio app. It's already up there. Yesterday's interview with Tunch Ilkin is up there. And, you know, James is doing such a great job with that. And I just, again, want to commend him and thank him for getting those things up so quick. I mean, we just did the show yesterday with Tunch, and it's already up on the website and the app for people to listen to. So go back and listen to this. And then go to the scriptures yourself. Go look in God's Word and see what He says, and understand that His desire is that marriage be permanent and sacred. And is it hard? Difficult? Yes, it is.
It is indeed. And I think, you know, as you were saying, what can we do individually? I think, number one, as men and women, we need to turn back to the Word of God and revisit this issue and remind ourselves our marriage is a forever relationship. My wife once told me that, said, Jim, if you ever leave me, I'm going to chase you down and I'm coming with you. And that is our commitment to one another, that we're going to be together you know, for life.
I love what Billy Graham's wife, Ruth, said one time. She was asked, did you ever think about divorce? And she said, no, I thought about murder, but never divorce. You know, and so she was always quick-witted that way. You know, Jim, one of the questions that came up, and I do appreciate the guys asking questions about this issue, is, well, you know, what does it mean when it says sexual immorality or adultery? As best I can tell, as you look at Scripture, it's a relentless, persistent, unrepentant lifestyle of adultery. This is not talking about a one-off where somebody goes and they have a weak moment, or a weak couple of moments where they choose to do something and then they come to their senses and they go, what have I done? It was wrong. Oh my goodness, please forgive me. They fall on their face. They ask for mercy from God, ask for mercy for you. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about an unrepentant lifestyle, persistent lifestyle of adultery, going against, you know, God's standard. And because divorce was incompatible with God's purpose for marriage, which was the coming together for the reproducing of the faith community. Now, if you have an unrepentant partner who's continuing to walk in that, in the Old Testament, at one point they were executed for that. Mm-hmm. But in his mercy, God, in the same way, you know, that God doesn't execute everybody for lying, like he executed Ananias and Sapphira, he had mercy on people, and divorce was that merciful option that came in the case of adultery that was unrepentant. But if you divorce for any other reason, then you were considered in adultery after that. And Jesus talked about that. We're going to talk about that next week as we get into it. But this marriage relationship is a high standard. And just because we have failed doesn't mean we relax the standard. It doesn't mean we bring the standard down because we say, well, you know what? Joe over here did it, and Ben did it, and Will did it, and whoever did it, and I'm just making those names up. The thing is, if we relax the standard, then we start to lose the credibility with the outside faith community.
That's right. And remember, Jesus even raised the standard a little bit. He said it's not only this unrepentant physical act. He said what? He said if you even lusted after a woman, if you looked at her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You know, so anything that takes our eyes off of our spouses and lures us away, that's the time to put a stop to it right there. Don't wait till you're in a physical situation, you're tempted to act on it. Covenant with God right now to stop, not even get in that type situation.
Well, Psalm 101:3 says, I will put no vile thing before my eyes.
That's right.
You stop it there. But I just wanted to make sure that people understand, because sometimes people, like the Pharisees looking for the loophole, there's actually been people who've wanted their spouse to commit adultery so they would be free to remarry, almost like an out. No, it was not that at all. He was just saying, because of the hardness of your heart, and we're going to get into that more detail next week. Brad will be back Monday, and we'll look at that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And by the way, I just want to say a big thank you to Jim for being here, for filling in for Brad. Always good to have Shark Boy in the studio, right, Steve? So, guys, seriously, SWATradio.com. Or the SWAT Radio app has all past programs you could go to listen to. You can communicate with us at Facebook at SWAT Radio Talk, also on Twitter and Instagram at SWAT Radio Talk. And just because the program's over doesn't mean you have to stop thinking about this and interacting. You can interact in those social media platforms. You can also send questions to ask@swatradio.com, and we try to be really good about answering those. So, Jim, I hope you have a good weekend. Men's breakfast tomorrow.
That's right. Eastside Community Church, 8 o'clock, 13301 Beach Boulevard. Our pastor, Tim Luss, is going to be talking about his recent experiences with you, Doug, in Israel.
Yep, and my daughters are dancing tomorrow night at UNF for the Nutcracker, Miss Felicia's dance ministry. I hope you'll keep us in your prayer. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back next week.
If you missed a SWAT Radio broadcast this week and would like to hear any show in its entirety, then go to SWATradio.com. Click on Past Shows, where you can listen to the broadcast. Also, if you're looking for a band of brothers that gather around God's Word to be a part of, then go to SWATradio.com and email one of our hosts, and they can get you plugged in to one of the local SWAT Bible studies. Tune in next time to explore how SWAT Radio is strengthening spiritual warriors and spreading His truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL.